you. Thank you. You guys, it is so good to be here. I kind of feel like I'm coming home a little bit. So I guess I don't know a lot of you, but it's kind of fun to be here and to get to stand here. So so thanks for having me. And like Dana said, I got saved here. We weren't even in this building yet when I got saved, but I did get saved here, and I got the call to ministry here, and it was I was here when I first got my first level of credentials to serve the Lord, and it was such a blessing. So I'm just wondering, is there anybody else here that got saved here at New Freedom? Anybody else? Oh, come on, you guys. Where are they? They must be, they're taking the day off. Oh, someone there. Yay. So you could be up here next, right? That's the, maybe you'll get a call. You never know. You never know. So I want to be really honest with you. I think apparently this is a theme. I want to be very honest with you guys. I think Mother's Day is very tricky. I remember the first time that I realized that Mother's Day was a potential hurt for people. I was about 15 years old, and a very good friend of mine from high school had just given up her baby for adoption. And we were really close friends, so I had the honor of walking through that process with her. I got to go with her to go pick out the adoptive parents. We did that together, and I went to all of her doctor's appointments with her so that she wasn't alone. And when it came to making the whole adoption official in court, I got to be there for that. And the adoptive parents got to know both of us so well that they had actually ended up naming the baby after the two of us. They gave her my first name and my friend's first name as her middle name. So that Mother's Day, when it rolled around, she said that she went to her relative's house, and all the mothers were honored with a flower. All the mothers got flowers, but they didn't honor her. And she said, I gave birth, you know, like I'm a mom to this daughter that I had to give away so that she could have a better life than I could give her. So we cried. We cried a lot. We cried, and we cried for that emptiness that she felt and of not being able to hold little Sarah in that moment. And we rejoiced, right? Because Sarah was with these parents who were longing for her for years. They wanted her, and they were finally able to celebrate their first Mother's Day. And Sarah was being loved. So fast forward, and I used to skip church on Mother's Day all the time. This was like my day off, right? Because it's awkward. And I'm also a single mom. So sometimes churches, not this one, but sometimes churches find it really awkward to honor single moms on a day like today, right? Because it's just awkward. We had babies before we were married, and you're not supposed to do that. The Bible says that. So so sometimes it's awkward. And sometimes, one time I had the opportunity to have to explain that my children were blessings from the Lord. They were not a punishment for my mistakes on Mother's Day. It was just easier to skip. Right? But then I planted Exchange Church over in Green Bay. And so for the past several years, I've had to come to church on Mother's Day, and I've even had to speak. And I thought the first time I thought, oh my gosh, this is just great, super. That's awesome. I didn't even know what to talk about. It was awful. But so I really wrestled with what to say each Mother's Day. And this year, I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have someone else speak. That's going to be awesome. So I did that. I arranged for someone else to speak at my church today. But then Pastor Jimmy asked me if I could come fill in for him. And I thought, this is God smirking at me, right? Like, you know, God smirks, like, nice try, Sarah. It was really cute how you thought you were going to get away with not having to walk through this, and you were going to make arrangements to not have to do that, but I gotcha. Right? I mean, it's kind of like that like kid that's trying to sneak that extra dessert, and then the parents come in and bust them. Nice try. Put it back. That's how I see God smirking at me today. So all of that to say, I've been praying and wondering and asking the Lord, you know, so how do we honor moms without hurting other people? you know, because it is Mother's Day, and we should be able to honor people who are mothers. It's true. But how do we do that without hurting other people? So one of the things I did is I reached out to a really good friend of mine and asked for advice. And tucked away in one of the links that they sent me was this really incredible piece, and it's short, so I'm going to read it to you. Because I absolutely love it. I think it's amazing. I wish I had written it, but it really just wraps up my thoughts on today. And it says this. It says, "To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. And those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed for it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests this upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who placed children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst." I wish I wrote that. Right? So I want to tell you just how unbelievably thankful I am for all of you who, no matter what your circumstances are surrounding Mother's Day, that chose to come and be here at New Freedom today. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. And now we'll get into the teaching portion. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 12. I don't want you to ever take what I'm going to say for my word for things. I want people to be able to look it up all the time because I tend to tell stories sometimes and I could just make stuff up. Who wants that, right? But also, I think it's important for us to look in our own Bibles. If we're not opening them in church, we're not opening them at home, right? So whether you have a paper Bible or an app, go ahead and turn to Romans 12. And Romans is in the first part of the New Testament. It's just after the Gospels and Acts. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And there's certain traits, right, that we attribute to mothers and just parents in general. Traits that we decided are what we should expect from a mother, what we expect from ourselves as parents, if we are parents. So stereotypically speaking, moms are what? Can you guys just yell out what are some traits of moms?
Tired.
Amen. What is it?
Friendship.
Okay, yes.
Fearless.
Caring. Giving. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Sacrifice. Yeah. Yeah. One that I think of is loving. Maybe it's because I'm a mom, so I think I'm loving. I don't know if my kids would say that, but they're not here, so I'm going to say they would. I was telling somebody earlier, they Snapchatted me this morning. It's fine. I'm loving. That's proof. But I think that's one of the common traits that we think of is loving, right? And I think if we look at it, it isn't just a parental requirement, right? It's something that we're all called to do. We're all called to be loving. It's a biblical mandate, right? But what does it actually mean to be loving? I mean, that could be pretty objective, right? Like, what makes one person feel loved doesn't make somebody else feel loved. And, you know, it's this weird, ambiguous, objective term. We all know people that are huggers, right? Right? I met Valerie this morning. She hugged me twice. I'm going to go ahead and say Valerie is a hugger. Right? Huggers, we all know who huggers are. They half of them raised their hands when I said that. Right? But they just love to hug. Even people they just met, they just want to hug people. And that's how they give and receive hugs. They very proudly smile really big and say, "I'm a hugger." Right? That's right. Valerie Stein up here, she's yes, that's what I do. So we all know who the huggers are in this room. Nobody doesn't know who you are, huggers. These people are glowing when they give and receive love in the form of hugs. And then there's the handshakers. These are the people who see those huggers coming and they like brace themselves. And they like stick their hand out as fast as they can and try to like offset it. Right? These people that are handshakers, a smile and a handshake, personal space, that respect of the bubble. That's how we, I'm saying we, that's how we receive love. As handshakers. Anybody else a handshaker, or is it just me? Nah, just me. Okay. Oh, yay! I have one fellow handshaker here. We'll respect each other's space later. Okay. So how do we love one another, right? When it's so drastically different, when somebody needs that closeness and that hug, and somebody else is like, "Ah, hi," right? How do we do it? How do we make that work? The Bible actually gives us lots of instruction on how to love, and you know, that book, this big book that we all have, right? The Bible, it actually holds a lot of information about how to live our lives in general, or at least what we should be aiming for, right? It's a goal. So I want to take a look at the Bible's instructions on how to love in Romans 12, and we're going to start at verse 9. So it says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So right off the bat, do you know what I notice the most about these instructions? The first thing I notice is that it's talking about sincere love, right? So when you're complimenting somebody, when you're patting somebody on the back, you want to be sincere about it, right? Be sincere. It's not loving to compliment somebody for something that if you don't actually mean it, just skip it, right? Love has to be sincere. And then the next thing that sticks out to me here is that we're not only talking about just emotional love, right, which is what we all might think of first, but we're actually talking about an active love. We can see in verse 10 that love, that sincere love, takes action. And some of the versions, like the ESV Bible, if you have that one of those, it says, "Love one another with brotherly affliction. Outdo one another in showing honor." So love one another with brotherly affliction. What does that even mean? I mean, I'm a female. I only have sisters, and I only had girls. I don't know what it means to love somebody with a brotherly, in a brotherly way, right? I don't have a personal frame of reference for brotherly love, but I do have a reference for sisterly love. So it's probably similar, right? For example, my youngest sister loves to tell stories about when we were younger and all the things I did to her. One of her favorite stories is this one time when I made her kiss every single one of my toes. And I don't know why I did that. I don't know. I guess maybe just because I could and I'm a bully. But it seemed like a good time, a good idea at the time. So, I mean, is that the brotherly love we're talking about? I don't know. Probably not. I don't think that's what Paul's talking about. But there is this bond that I have with my sister. Right, and it's a bond that my daughters have with one another. And if you're fortunate enough to have siblings or cousins or even a really good friend or two, you know this love that I'm talking about here, right? It's that bond that says, if you mess with them, you're messing with me. We're together, right? It's that bond that lets us get mad and frustrated with one another, but at the end of the day, we're still family. And that should be our goal with one another, right? To know each other in this room well enough. And not to never disagree, right? Because that's just not realistic. We're going to disagree. All of us are going to disagree. But to be able to work things out and value the love that we have for one another. And sometimes that means valuing our relationship even more than valuing that your opinion is correct or even expressed. Sometimes valuing that person more than proving that you are right. That's a tough one. I don't know. I like to be right. So, you guys, we have to get better at this, just in general, the population in general, right? Our society, we need to get better at this. We've got to learn to be nicer, to love sincerely our fellow Jesus followers is our job, right? Because we have to live with one another throughout eternity. Yikes. I heard someone say yay. I'm thinking, yikes. I mean, yay for some and yikes over there. I'm not making eye contact with anybody because I don't know anybody. So but we might as well start to get along now, right? We might as well practice here and practice putting up with one another's strange habits and different things that we do, the peculiar ways that we all have, right? In verse 10, it says, honor one another above yourselves. So again, the ESV said, outdo one another showing honor. When was the last time you tried to outdo somebody to show them honor? Yikes, I think it might have been a while for me. I don't know. Maybe I've never tried to outdo somebody in honoring them. So be joyful in hope, even when the circumstance doesn't warrant it. Being a Jesus follower doesn't mean being free from troubles, does it? I wish it did. But that's not what it says in that big old book. It doesn't say that. Being a Jesus follower doesn't mean that we're free from troubles. But we should find joy in every situation. His joy, his love, his joy. Whichever situation we are in right now or maybe later, it's not permanent. We can find joy in the eternity, in the enduring triumphant eternity. We can continue to pray at all times. Anyone who's had the experience of sharing a troubled situation with somebody and had that person come around them and say, hey, let me pray for you, and then they just do it right away, let's pray right now. Then you know how loving that action is. That is a loving action. When our situation makes it difficult to find joy and hope, we always have prayer. In verse 13, it says to share with the Lord's people who are in need, to practice hospitality. So share the necessities of life with people. God expects us to share what we have with others who are in need. And there's always those among us who are going to be struggling, and we're called to share with them. With what we have. We're not called to judge. We're not called to teach, to decide if they're deserving, right, in that moment when they have a great need. Our job is to share. That attitude of judgment that I get sometimes when they're maybe not in the same tax bracket isn't very loving, right? it's something we all have to think about. Like maybe they're in that situation for more than the reasons that I can see. And it's not my business. It's not even my business. My job is to share what I have. Give hope, give love, give joy, to pray. Having a full refrigerator, a freezer, and cupboards, stocked pantry, all of that, while a fellow Jesus follower, while the person sitting maybe right next to you is trying to survive on rice and beans and cabbage, that's not loving. If we're loving and if we're in relationship with one another, then we know how one another is doing. We know how the person next to us is surviving and whether or not they need something from us. If I go beyond those superficial social pleasantries, if I go beyond the, hey, how are you doing today? Great. And move on. If I go beyond that, then we know. But if you have needs, if you're in the room and you have needs, are you trusting people with what those needs are? That's really tough. That can be really difficult. Because as much as the rest of us would like to know and just understand and read your mind and help you out, we can't know your situation. We can't read your mind without you taking that chance on trusting and sharing. So it says to practice hospitality. The Message version of the Bible says to be inventive in hospitality. Be inventive in hospitality. If you have a hospitality gift, this is no problem for you. If you struggle in this area like I do, you're like, oh, I can barely do it at all, let alone be inventive. Come on. But maybe it's not always just inviting somebody over for a meal, which is, you know, my go-to. Just come on over. We'll meet over here. We'll have coffee. We'll eat. But maybe it's something different. Maybe you're inviting somebody into your hobby. Or maybe you enjoy a sport and you're inviting somebody to attend a sporting event or play that sporting event with you. Right? Maybe you're available to meet somebody to go for a walk or a hike or go fishing. Right? There's all these different things that sometimes we leave out, especially now that it's summer. It opens up a whole world of possibilities, right? We just are coming out of that dreaded winter zone where there's nothing but eating and coffee. That's all there is in the winter, I'm convinced. Oh, thank goodness. I mean, I like coffee, but come on. So we're supposed to pursue hospitality, right? So we should be seeking people out. We should be looking for opportunities to be hospitable to people. Is there somebody in your neighborhood? Is there someone at your job? Or even sitting right among us right now who is introverted or shy? Maybe they really long for some really great connections, for a friendship, right? Maybe they need a kind face. Maybe they need to see Jesus in you. But they find it really difficult to start that conversation or to be the first one to invite somebody to coffee. Are we looking for those opportunities? Are we looking for opportunities in our everyday lives? Are we willing to pursue hospitality? If you are, God will put people in your path, I promise. I hardly ever go to Woodman's without talking to strangers. I don't know how it happens. I used to laugh at my grandma. I was like, Grandma, can't you go to the grocery store one time without talking to people? Just one time. The answer is no. I cannot. I can go in for one thing, and it takes me an hour every time. And it's not because I'm looking around. I don't like to shop. It's because people are talking. I don't know. I don't know how it happens except for God. I'm always praying, God, give me the opportunity to pour into people's life. Give me an opportunity to show your love. Give me an opportunity to honor you, to glorify you, for people to come to know you through me, because if I'm not doing that, I don't want to be here. So I can't go to Woodman's. Unless I have time. Because he puts people there. He puts people there. And he'll do that for all of us. So are you willing? Are you willing to pursue hospitality opportunities? Have you ever heard the saying, laugh and the world laughs with you, weep and you weep alone? As Jesus followers, we are called to not only rejoice with those who rejoice, but we're called to mourn with those who mourn, right? That's verse 15 if you're following along. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. This is a tough one, right? I mean, it is for me. laughter and rejoicing, excitement, these are things that I like. They're contagious. I'm drawn to them, right? We want to spend time doing those things. Scientists even tell us that laughing releases feel-good endorphins that can even relieve physical pain. Laughing releases dopamine, which serves as a reward in our brains. And laughing can block stress hormones like cortisol. Who doesn't want to laugh, right? All those benefits, even. I mean, how do you not want to laugh? But mourning, on the other hand, the way that we heal from grief is much more difficult to walk through. There's this emptiness that remains in the pain of a loss. Loss leaves scars. There's no quick answers. There's no solution. It can't be fixed. There are no set rules for grief. It takes however long it takes. Sometimes years, sometimes more. Grieving operates on its own timeline. And we don't accidentally mourn with somebody. We can accidentally laugh with anybody, but we don't accidentally mourn with someone. It's purposeful, it's painful, and it's how we can love. As Jesus followers, we ought to be willing to enter emotionally into the lives of others, even when it's uncomfortable. Enter into their joys and enter into their sorrows. This is a genuine love a Jesus follower should engage in. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. In other words, don't be afraid of associating with humble people, right? Humble beginnings. Things and people without stereotypical monetary or social value. Be willing to do menial tasks, menial work. This is a way to love. It's right there in verse 16. So I know several churches that could really use that verse to correct their congregation. They could probably preach on that for months, right? We all, maybe if you've been in church for more than 20 minutes, you probably can think of somebody, right, that you're like, oh, they need that verse, right? We won't name any names. We just know that they're out there. But you guys, I just want to brag on all of you a little bit because I think you guys are amazing at this. I got to help out in the office for a little bit while Krista was off having a baby. Cute one, too. Right? But I got to see name after name after name come through in different volunteer opportunities. And then you guys had that movie event. And, like, most of you in this room went to that event, right? Because most of you in this room volunteer in some capacity. That is amazing. You guys are killing it. So congratulations. Give yourselves a hand, right? You guys got this down. I'm proud of you guys. But more importantly than me being proud, because who cares, I think God is proud of you. I just do. I think he is smiling on New Freedom. I think he sees you, and he sees your willingness to be loving to our community. And I just want to thank you for that, because I serve in this community too. And I know how difficult it can be sometimes. But I'm honored to be able to serve at a church alongside of all of you. And I'm thankful for the service to our little corner of the world that you guys provide. You all love so well. I believe you make God proud. So thank you. Thank you very much. I think what I'm going to do is ask Lister to come on up here and pray for people, or pray in general. Pray to close us, because I'm going to skip the other thing I had. Just doesn't seem right anymore. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Give it up for Sarah. That was a good word. That hit the heartstrings. I think I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have people up here to pray as well, because I think she was hitting on the grief of Mother's Day. There's tons of joy. Don't get me wrong. This is my first Mother's Day, and I'm not ashamed. I love it. I'm so pumped about it. But I understand, like, it can be painful, too. So I'm going to pray. If you're feeling led to pray for people, just come and line the altars. Or if you just need prayer, don't be shy, be bold. The Spirit will meet you where you need to be met. So I'm going to pray while you build courage in your heart if you need prayer to come forward. And then they're going to play some holy music so that the Spirit can move, because we need that. Just kidding. He can move regardless of music. But I'm going to pray, and then we'll see what the Lord's doing, and then I'll come back up here and we'll do the drawing. So let's pray. Lord, you are here. You are the best parent that we could ever have. Lord, you see our hearts, you see our minds. You move in mysterious ways, but also we know when you speak to us. Father, I lift up the burdens and the hearts of everybody in this room. I know there's things that people are scared to say, or maybe people don't even know what they're feeling. Father, I pray that you would begin to work on their hearts so that they do know what they're feeling, Father, and that they can cast their cares on you, their burdens on you, their joys on you, their grief on you. Everything that they're walking through, Lord, you want to walk with them. You want to walk with them through it. I pray, Jesus, that you would release your freedom in this place, freedom over the hearts and the minds of the people that need your freedom today, which is all of us. Father, I pray that you would call the people back to you that don't necessarily know you. I just keep hearing the phrase spirit of adoption in this place. Whether that's spiritually you feel like you don't have a place or you don't belong, the Lord is calling you. He's saying that I have adopted you. I have called you my own. You have a place with me. Lord, we receive that word and we deliver that, Father. I pray that anyone that needs your spirit of adoption on top of them and in them to permeate through to the deepest parts of their hearts and minds, I pray that you would do that now. Even now, Holy Spirit, we give you permission to just move, to move in this place, to touch the hearts and minds of the people that are here, Lord. We come to church expecting you to move. And so we wait for you, Lord. We wait for you and we hear you and we receive you. Father, you are a good God and we trust that. We trust that even if our life is not good right now, Father, we love you. We love you. We surrender all things to you, Lord. I surrender every person in this room to you. I pray, I lift them up to you, Father. I lift them up to you. I pray that they would hear your voice and that they would be moved. I pray that chains that they don't even know are on them would begin to disintegrate and to break off. Father, I just speak freedom in this place. I speak freedom. I speak adoption and belonging in this place, Lord. You are here. You are here with arms wide open. You have no more separation between us and you. You've bridged that gap. We trust that, Lord. Father, I pray that as the altars are open, that people would feel boldness to come forward and to receive what you have for them, that they would step out in faith, that they would be bold to receive whatever you have for them. Father, I believe that you have a gift for each person if they're willing to receive. I pray even now, Father, that people would just come forward, that they would come forward with their longing hearts, with their weary minds. Father, that they would lay them down at your feet and receive your burden. You said that your burden is easy and your yoke is light. You desire to give us good things, Father. You desire to give us good things, and we believe that. Father, just release your healing. Release your healing in this place, Father. We will linger. We will wait for you. Even if it's awkward and uncomfortable, we will wait for you. Jesus, let boldness stir up inside each person here, Lord. Just let your healing flow. Let your healing flow in this place, Lord. If that's you, you have permission to come forward to receive healing. People will pray for you. These altars are open for you. I think there's people in here that need prayer. I know that there is, and we're going to wait. So if that's you, don't be shy.